What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
And away we go into the final hour of the show. The Rob Brown Show is right here on the Fan Upstate. Rob, Lonzo, you. Be a part of the show. 844-326-3663, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. Give us a call on that number or shoot us a text on that number, 844-326-3663. Today's text line poll question of the day. Very simple one. When football ends in about 4 weeks from yesterday, which sport would you like to see have increased discussion on the show? Here are your options. Baseball, hockey, soccer, basketball, off-season football, or other. And here's how you vote. First, you open up a brand new text. Second, you type in the number 844-326-3663. And then you text us the word baseball, the word hockey, the word soccer, the word basketball, the word football, or the word other followed by the sport that you would like to see more of. Baseball, hockey, soccer, basketball, football, or other. And you go, wait a minute, Robbie just said once football's over. That is correct. If you believe football should not decrease in conversation time and coverage on the show, you believe we should just roll into off-season football immediately, then text football.
So you don't mean we're going straight into UFL?
I mean, I want to say that I'm going to try again this year.
Good for you.
I want to say I'm going to try again this year. I tried last year. I made it like 2 weeks, like being a regular viewer of the UFL last year. And then it fell out. And I'll tell you what the biggest problem is for me. This is just me. The biggest problem for me is I'm a basketball guy. I love the sport of basketball. And when football season's over, where are we on the calendar? We are final third of conference basketball season. We are getting to the point where resumes are being solidified for March Madness. In the NBA, where are we? We are getting ready for the playoffs. Teams are starting to realize here's what we're going to have to do in order to make it into the dance and are starting to put themselves together. I am a big basketball guy. And when it comes down to it, I'm going to watch the highest level of college and professional basketball before I watch the second highest level of professional football, even though I do think it is important to stay tuned into football in the spring with the UFL because there's a lot of young cats, a lot of practice squad caliber players that are going to go out there and are going to try to make a name for themselves. There every year we have a couple of UFL dudes who end up making the jump up to the NFL. I want to see them. I want to see what new rules that the UFL is, as they have been, the experimentation ground for the NFL. Remember, that's where they tested out the new kickoff rule was in the UFL. That's where they developed it. That's where they tested it. And sorry about that. Where we are, though.
Not very tactical.
Yeah, no, I missed the button. Where we are now, this deep into the season, One more game to put away round one of the NFL playoffs. I feel like the first two or three weeks, it took some real getting used to the new kickoff rules. And now I think we're in a spot where I'm like, that's just the game. Right? Like, I looked at him at the beginning and I'm like, I don't know, man. This is going to change the game. It's going to have a different feel. It's going to be a different vibe. And now we are two rounds deep in the playoffs. And I feel like most other things, I'm just kind of at the spot where I'm like, all right, it's just, that's football, right? It hasn't dramatically changed the game in any way, shape, or form other than the kickoff.
I think the thing that's more impactful through the whole rule change with kicking is the onside kick rule. I think that's more, I mean, it's you have to declare it and you can only do it in what, the fourth quarter? And
you got to be down.
Yeah. I think that's more impactful than the kickoff is. And I don't understand all the rules still yet for the kickoff, but I'll get it eventually.
How many flags
have been thrown because it's not in the drop zone?
At least a couple. I know there's been at least a couple. It happened against the Saints at one point. Where somebody, I don't know if it was a shank or if they were just trying to like hit a line drive that dug into the ground in the landing zone, right? Because you got that big open territory between the return team line and the return man. And I do wonder, like, we haven't really seen anybody do it yet, which is, I think, to some degree unsurprising. But like, I'm going to assume, like, at some point there's going to be a kicker who tries to figure out a way to hit a worm burner that rockets at just above ground level past the return line and then digs in and starts taking wicked bounces all over inside of the landing zone to kind of freak out the return men a little bit, right? See if they can maybe cause them to miss picking up on the ball or, you know, start to get afraid of it, but you got the ability to call for a touch. I don't know. I'm interested to see. But I think this point in the season, we've all just kind of like, we just live in this new kickoff era, and we're all cool with it. We're all good with it. Here's a fun thing. I know there's not a ton of Steelers fans in the area, but I know that there are Steelers fans in the area. Mike Tomlin and the Steelers lose. Zero playoff wins, and what are we on, six consecutive years now? No playoff wins. Winning seasons, all of them, but no playoff wins for the Steelers. And there was a conversation going on in the background about, is it time for the Steelers to divorce from Mike Tomlin? And I think it was Rex Ryan, I don't know, whoever it was, floated the idea of a head coaching trade with the Dallas Cowboys. Mike McCarthy to Pittsburgh, straight up for Mike Tomlin to Dallas. And a bunch of the folks that were making this argument, which I have landed on, if I was the Steelers, I think I'd pull the plug on the Mike Tomlin era. I don't think you're going anywhere. I don't know that I'm trading for Mike McCarthy to make it happen. I don't know if that's the guy I'm pulling up. I think I'm going to try to...
There's a proposal out there of a double trade between Pittsburgh and Dallas.
Oh, we'll send you, let me guess it.
I guess it would Tomlin, just be a trade.
Tomlin, and, oh, you mean like for the head coach? Yeah. I think it was Rex. But I heard a lot of people that were going, oh, you know, like Tomlin's a culture builder, right? Like that's the narrative around Mike Tomlin. He's a culture builder. He's going to come into the locker room. He's going to get everybody on the same page. He's going to get everybody clicking together. That's all well and good. And then George Pickens took to the podium after the Pittsburgh Steelers lost to the Baltimore Ravens. George, you've been with this offense for 3 years now. Have you seen some growth? Yeah, I've seen a bunch of growth. Yeah, we're better. We're better now. Like we've grown. We're getting better. We're playing better. We're playing well together. That's awesome, dude. Does that give you some optimism about what this team could be? Nah.
Is that a scheme thing? Is that the coach? Or maybe he just doesn't like the quarterback.
I just think he wants out.
I think he just doesn't like the quarterback that's playing.
No, right now. You don't like the quarterback that's playing right now.
I does. I'm not alone. As usual, not
sure. I'm not saying you are. I'm saying even if we know you're not alone, you don't get to just say that's what he's complaining about.
We're speculating. You're speculating. I'm speculating. My speculation is that he doesn't like the quarterback.
Sure, which may very well be it. And I'll tell you, I mean it. I have defended Russell Wilson. I can also tell you, I wouldn't be friends with Russell Wilson. He's a cornball. All right? He's the most plastic, manufactured, corporatized quarterback of all time, and I include Tom Brady in that. Like, he's a I don't want to say he's a fraud, but he's phony. He's phony baloney, as my mother would say. He's phony baloney, and I don't like it. That being said, I think George Pickens, you know, George Pickens, the guy that at one point watched a defense pick off a deep ball. Do you remember what he did after that? He just ran over and like suplexed a guy. Not tried to tackle the guy with the ball now that he's on defense. No. He went up to a dude who was behind the ball and just like slammed him to the ground. This is the same George Pickens that has, on at least two occasions, after a play was over, jumped up into the air and, like, Macho Man Randy Savaged a dude, elbow dropped it. This guy's a lunatic.
Okay, the things that you've just said, I don't get why there's a problem. First of all, when an interception is thrown, you're supposed to hit somebody, right?
The guy who did the intercepting, he is a wide receiver, not a defensive back. You go get the guy that has the ball, not tackle a guy who is behind the guy that has the ball. You have blocked yourself. You're the fastest guy on the field. See that guy with the ball that's on the other team going the other way? Go get that guy. Go suplex that guy. That's the guy you hit, George.
Unless there's a guy on the other team that you don't like and you see the opportunity to hit him and you can go, oh, my bad, I was trying to hit the ball carrier.
Shout out Marshawn Lattimore, who left the Saints and apparently lost all his superpowers to stop Mike Evans. But we'll talk about that later. I just love that this cat got on a mic after a post game, was straight up asked, hey, dude, you guys have been together. You're getting better. You feeling better? Do you have some optimism? Nope. Straight up, and I quote directly, nah. Do you understand how out you are on a concept to go, nah? Not no. Not nope. Not no, sir. Not yet. Not no. No.
I've gnawed before. So yeah.
Sure.
I get it.
When you gnaw somebody, you are not just saying no. You are saying no, and I think the thing you said is stupid.
Yes.
Right?
Definitely.
It is the bless your heart of no.
For sure.
When you drop a gnaw on a dude, you are straight up saying not only your question, but you too. Hey, George, you guys been together 3 years. Does that give you some optimism? You, guy. You and your question. Like, that's incredible. If I got called down to the boss's office after the show, which I might, you never know. It's Monday. If I got called down to the boss's office after the show and he said, hey, Rob, how would you feel about doing this on your show tomorrow? And I went, nah. He'd be like, do you work here anymore? Nah. George Pickens just basically said, yo, you, your question, and the Steelers as a whole. You got to get rid of that cat now, right? And the thing is, the reason I bring it up is because I heard a couple of different people saying you got to fire Mike Tomlin and move on because he's lost the locker room. Listen to George Pickens. Nah. A lot of people are saying, see, look, Mike Tomlin has definitely lost the locker room. I don't know if that's true. I can't say I don't think it is. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't know. I think there's probably a lot of Steelers really frustrated with the results. What I do know is this. He may have lost the locker room. He never had George Pickens. That kid's crazy.
See, I disagree. I think that his nah
No.
Sounded exactly the way it like Mike Tomlin delivery. It was a perfect. If you said Mike Tomlin said that, I would believe it.
His delivery, maybe.
Everything is just like his coach.
But again, I think if you rolled up to, and Mike Tomlin's the king of the eye roll and walk away from the podium, right? We've seen him do it this year, where somebody goes, "What do you think about next week?" And he just eye rolls and leaves the podium. That's one thing. George Pickens was asked, do you have any optimism in the offense moving forward? And he said, nah. George Pickens is on the offense. That's his unit. If Zoe and I get called down to the boss's office, boss's office, I can do this. I'm a professional.
Over your inability to say boss's
office. If we got called down to the boss's office after the show and the boss was like, hey, Rob, you feel like the show's going pretty well? And I went, nah. Lonzo would hit me in the back of the head with a notepad. What are you doing, dude? What are you doing, you moron?
No, I would say I told him to step up, boss. I don't know what he's doing.
Nah.
Holding up my end over here. But Rob Brown, nah.
Lonzo said, Rob, we don't have to go to break yet. And I said, nah. Yeah, we do. Shout out to Skrilla. He said, morning, Rob. Taking my 7-year-old daughter to school and we were listening and she turned to me and said, Dad, why is he yelling? No, I'm not yelling. This is just how I talk. Haven't you seen my movies? Deep Blue Sea? That's Dave Chappelle, ladies and gentlemen, from The Chappelle Show.
Was it? Yeah. Wow. It was just like he was sitting in the room.
I know. I'm very good at this. No. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show with the Fan Upstate.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I want to go back to something that I played earlier in the show, back during the audio blitz. If you missed that, every morning at 8 o'clock, we give you the best sound that we have heard from the past 24-ish hours in the sportosphere. I want to play a clip that took place on ESPN's Get Up. They were discussing Bill Belichick's hiring as the head coach of the North Carolina Tar Heels. Now, there was a discussion that started circulating this past weekend about Bill Belichick apparently being considered for some NFL head coaching jobs. There is a big rumor going around right now that with Tom Brady being a voice in the Raiders organization now, and the Raiders firing, to some shock, Antonio Pierce after just 1 year as the permanent head coach, that Tom Brady may get into the ear of Mark Davis and get him on the horn with Bill Belichick to come out and coach the Raiders. And then, of course, there's a secondary discussion of, well, if Hoodie comes to Vegas and the Raiders stink, would Brady come out of retirement to play football for him as a player owner? And that's all dumb and no, but we'll come back to that later. The discussion was, would the Raiders, especially if Brady is in the ear of Mark Davis, would the Raiders take that risk? Would the Raiders decide to make that push? And my answer was no. I don't think Bill Belichick is getting another NFL job. I think the Hoodie is done. I think the Hoodie burned all the bridges on his way out. I think the fact that the Patriots fired him, the Falcons and the Jets moved on past them, interviewed him, but then did not hire him. Instead, both of them kept or hired a let's be honest, like a C-tier candidate head coach, which you got to do sometimes. The Saints are about to hire like a L-list candidate head coach. I put in my application. I've coached like four teams to multiple Super Bowls on Madden. I'm pretty good. I don't think there's a door for Hoodie. I don't think teams are even willing to roll the dice. So they got into a conversation and noted loud talking person Stephen A. Smith said that. Belly had made a mistake, that Hoodie should have held out, that Hoodie should have waited for a bigger job in a bigger market and yada, yada, yada. Which, honestly, of all the takes he has had, is not one of the worst ones. I don't know what the ceiling is for North Carolina football, but I know that if Hoodie is going to raise the ceiling to where a lot of people think it's going to be under him, he's got a hell of a lot of work cut out in front of him, right? And Stephen A. Smith went on to say, a lot of people are treating this like the hire of Deion Sanders at Colorado. It's not. It's not the same thing. And I don't even disagree with that, to be honest with you. But I did find the take a little bit, I'll use the word disrespectful to North Carolina. And of all the voices on that show, Molly Kierum is not the one I expected to get after Stephen A. Smith. And not only did she, but she did with something that I have talked about on this show and every show for a very long time. Yeah, everything she said.
Yeah, Molly's gone.
Everything she... Oh, I'm not saying you're wrong about that.
Yeah, she's gone.
I'm not saying you're wrong about that.
And maybe she's tired and ready to move on and decided she'd speak up finally over the obvious.
Yeah, he took that, if I may borrow a quote from him, personally. Like, you could tell. At the end, it got cut off there, but at the end of that clip, he was like, that doesn't give you the right to come after me like that. I'm like, yeah, it does, dog. It kind of does. And she's kind of right. And again, this is something that, it may just be because it is something that, bothers me personally because I am a victim of Stephen A. Smith's hyperbox officeization of sports. But I firmly believe Anthony Davis left the New Orleans Pelicans because Stephen A. and people like him kept talking about how you can make more money and be a more famous person if you play in L.A. or New York. And he forced his way out, and he forced his way to L.A., and the Pelicans got sent reeling. And then they land on Zion Williamson. Here comes this monster out of Duke. This kid's going to change the face of the franchise. And the first year, building an entire new team around the identity of this once-in-a-generation superstar, at least he was supposed to be. The very first offseason, Stephen A's like, once you get him up out of there, get him to New York. He should be a Knick. He could. I don't disagree with Molly Kierum. In fact, I fully support Molly Kierum in this discussion. And here's why. Sports is best. And I think we've learned that with these college football playoffs. Argue with me if you think I am wrong. I think sports is best when there is parity. In order for there to be parity, sports has to be on a level playing field so that teams or schools or franchises or whatever that are in smaller markets can compete with teams that are in bigger ones, right? What has been college football's primary issue preventing parity for a very long time? It is the fact that big market, big conference schools get all of the resources, and there was no way to level the playing field for smaller schools. Now there is. Now there is room to level the playing field for the, you know, not, again, when I say small, I don't mean small like FCS level, but like for FBS level schools to kind of level the playing field a little bit. Because now you can have all the conference resources in the world, but you, the school, can't give it to players. You can build them a barbershop. You can build them a slide in the locker room. You can build them a golf simulator. You can build them a bowling alley. You can build them whatever you want, but you can't give it to them. Other schools can now go out and fundraise with their NIL collectives. Other schools can now go out, fundraise with their NIL collectives. Now other schools can go out and say, hey, you may not get the barbershop or the bowling alley, but you will get an NIL deal here, and you will start. You will not have to go sit in Kirby Smart's offense for 2 years and develop and get no PT and then play for a year. You'll start immediately. Come on down, right? The playing field's leveled out a little bit. And now, even though we do have two, you know, legacy schools in the college football playoff final, there was parity. It felt, at least to me, it felt like there was more parity. You still ended up with two big dogs, but there was more parity. When every time a player breaks out in a small market baseball team, Stephen A. is screaming them for them to be a Met. Whenever a team breaks out for the Pelicans or the Milwaukee Bucks, and Stephen A. Smith starts screaming for them to become a Knick or a Laker, it's wildly frustrating to those of us that are fans of small market teams. Because what inevitably ends up happening is that they Anthony Davis you. What inevitably ends up happening is that at some point those voices get in their head, they talk to them, and they go, you know, he's probably right here. I got limited earning potential in New Orleans, Louisiana. I got a community that loves me, but I got limited earning potential here. If I go to New York City, they'll put me on the billboard that's the size of a building. I can make money with that. Can't do that in New Orleans. If I'm in New York City, I'm on national television all the time. In New Orleans, I'm on a national game when New Orleans plays New York. That's basically it. I'm going to go there. So for Molly Kerim to call out this box officeization of sports, I think it's good. And I think it needs to happen more often. I have talked about this in the advertising approach to sports from league to league and worldwide. If baseball does nothing but put Dodgers-Yankees on TV every Sunday night for Sunday Night Baseball, the sport won't grow, can't grow. But if they run a commercial across the Southeast that says, this Sunday night, the Atlanta Braves take on the Milwaukee Brewers live from Atlanta, Georgia. Right? Like, now you got a lot of reason for people who aren't going to watch Dodgers Yankees to tune in and stick with the sport moving forward. And it's not just Stephen A. Smith. There's a lot of other talking heads in the same boat. There's people over at Fox. There's people over at CBS that do the same damn thing, but he's the king of this.
People still left at Fox?
A couple.
Okay.
A couple. There's a handful that weren't named in the documents, if you will. I good on Molly Kerim, honestly. And I hope that Lonzo is incorrect and we don't sometime later on today get a random ESPN press report that says we want to thank Molly Kerim Rose for all of her contributions to the network and wish her well in her future endeavors. I hope that's not the case. And again, Molly's job on that show has historically primarily been to act as a facilitator of conversation, a moderator, keep the show on the rails. She got spicy. She cooked a little bit here, and I respect her for it. All right, let's run to a break. When we come back, final segment of the day, I asked you the question, when football season comes to its conclusion in 4 weeks, what sport do you want to hear get more coverage on this show moving forward? Text one of the following keywords to 844-326-3663. Baseball, hockey, soccer, basketball, off-season football, or other. Text baseball, hockey, soccer, basketball, football, or other to 844-326-3663. When we come back, we will tally up your votes, and I will let you know what it is the Upstate wants to hear. Text baseball, hockey, soccer, basketball, football, or other to 844-326-3663. We'll take a look at those votes when we come back on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rod Brown Show continues right here on the Fan Upstate. Rob, Lonzo, you, 844-326-3663, 844-FANFONE. That's the number to call and text the show. Voting is closed on our text poll question of the day. I asked you, the Armada, the listening audience, when football season ends, 4 weeks from yesterday, Super Bowl Sunday, and we move forward into the brave new world that is sports talk radio in the shoulder season of sports, what sport do you want to see get more coverage, more conversation on the show? Got our votes in, Lonzo. Here is how it shaped up. The last place votes were, what would you guess there's two of them. Which two came in last, Lonzo? Just out of curiosity.
What were the categories again?
Baseball, hockey, soccer, basketball, off-season football, or other sports?
Last, I'm going to go with hockey. And next to last, I'm going to go with baseball.
Okay.
That's not necessarily my order. He told me to guess what I thought the order would be.
For sure. For sure. Here is the projected order of finish. Not projected order. The order of finish. Dead last, a two-way tie between hockey, unsurprising, and off-season football.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's what I said. I didn't know if football was going to finish first. I absolutely did not project it to finish last. Hockey and off-season football last. Second to last was other, and you guys were all over the damn map with that. Some of you were clearly trolling. Some of you said professional wrestling, which I don't care if you were trolling. Okay. So we had dead last, a two-way tie between hockey and off-season football. Second to last was other sports. Then we had a two-way tie for first and one in the middle. Second to first, so runner-up, shockingly was soccer. Soccer was runner-up. Basketball baseball and soccer tied. Baseball and soccer tied. Basketball was number one. Now, I will say this about basketball. Basketball was number one, but a solid chunk of the basketball votes, great one, came in for college basketball specifically, not the NBA. So that, and that's fair. Those are two different sports, two different formulas, two different ways to look at basketball. I get it. Basketball was the vote getter, was the winner. But a chunk of the votes for basketball came along with basketball, but college, not NBA. And I get it. I understand it. That checks out. That makes sense. So the Upstate wants, according to this poll, and we'll probably check in again when we get to the end of football season. The Upstate, according to this poll, when football season comes to its conclusion, wants an immediate jump over to basketball season. Then when we get to April and it is opening day to pivot hard into baseball. And I will say this, as far as soccer being in a tie for second, I think that makes sense this year. I don't know if the vote would have been the same last year or next year, though, because we are approaching the World Cup here in these great United States.
Oh, joy. Another year of disappointment and people being all hyped up and ready to go, and then it doesn't happen, and then the coach get blamed, or everybody get blamed, when it probably just comes down to not enough talent. I don't know, but now I know to prepare myself for this year.
I mean, it's 2026.
Oh, you made it sound like it was this
year.
Well,
because this year we have all the lead-up tournaments. We have the Gold
Just
Cup upcoming.
Save what I said, and we'll replay it next year.
I don't know, man. I got to tell you, I like what Mauricio Pochettino is doing with his team right now.
You just like saying his name.
Mauricio! I think you'll like it too, Zoe, and I'll tell you why. The Greg Berhalter method was playback, counterattack, right? Just out-athlete them, just sprint, out-sprint them down the field. Mauricio Pochettino has a very Argentinian soccer mentality. That means, great one, we're going to work the ball up the field, and if you come near us, we are going to throw our bodies into you and knock you to the ground.
All right, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. It's going to be a different-looking team in 2026. We'll see how it plays out.
Do you have to change the makeup of what the team has been to get those kind of players?
No. I think, and this is one of the things that I think has presented a bit of a problem for this team. I think one of the things that has been a bit of a problem for this team has been that the manager in charge, which up before Mauricio Pochettino, was Greg Berhalter. And Greg's coaching style, I don't think, really took advantage of the players that were there. And I think with your new manager, you have a guy who is a hell of a lot better at recognizing and diagnosing talent. I think you have a guy who is a hell of a lot better at putting the talent in the right position. You're going to see a lot more Christian Pulisic playing a holding mid instead of being asked to be a striker. He's going to be a guy who's allowed to utilize that creativity that Berhalter never really let him get into. I'm excited. I didn't mean to end with a whole soccer breakdown here, but the great one asked, and if the great one wants to talk about soccer, we're talking about soccer. And he did. And he does. He did and he does. Hey, national championship game is 1 week away. This is a fun stat. Notre Dame is 4-0 against Big Ten teams, Lonzo. Can you be the ones behind the one in 4-1? I'm saying yeah. I'm saying Buckeyes early. I reserve the right to change this, but I am saying Buckeyes early in this one. Zoe, I don't know if you've looked. I don't know if you've seen it. If you have, pretend that you haven't so you look like a stinking genius when you get this number on the button. If you haven't, I'm genuinely curious. What is the point spread for the national championship game? Great one.
I thought you said this morning 8 points.
Oh, did I say it this morning?
Yes.
Yeah, I did. Buckeyes favored by 8.5.
Even when people think I'm not paying attention, I am definitely paying attention.
8.5 points in a natty. Joey B pointed out something very interesting, and that is if you go look at the college football national championship games that have taken place over the past handful of years, there's something really interesting that you have to look at and pay attention to. And that is the fact that, by and large, so the games have been blowouts the last few years. Like, a lot of the national championships have been absolute blowouts over the past couple of years. And now we come into a national championship game that has an 8.5 point spread to it. If Ohio State does indeed blow out Notre Dame, Do you think that changes the format? Do you think that that gets anything changed? Or we just look at it and go, hey, two best teams got there and one was just that much better?
How are they going to change that?
Yeah, I don't know.
I warned you I hit the wall. So
that's,
I mean,
all right. We're going to get you there.
You know, I was stuck in vibes world. All right, the first thing that's Xing is Rey Mysterio.
Rey Mysterio. Listen, I don't know if this is why it's Xing, but I really hope that it is. There was a video that came out of what is purported to be a fight. I think it's a demo, but from China, where a dude hits a legitimate running Hurricane Rana on a dude. You sent me that video.
Yeah, it was a cop who took down a perp,
yeah,
supposedly.
I think it was a demo, to be honest. I think it was a demonstration. But the dude freaking nailed a running Hurricane Rana, which is, let's be real, it's very impressive. I don't know if that's why he's trending.
Oh, for sure that's why he's trending, okay. along with a bunch of other wrestling moves and things. And it's
The Eagles scored a touchdown, and dude hit a pedigree on Cooper Jean.
No. He attempted a pedigree.
Well, attempted a pedigree.
No, you got
it. It was pretty bad.
No, it's not his fault. I mean, it's
Cooper. No, sold him pretty hard.
Yeah, it was the guy who he was pedigreeing.
Yeah,
you know, you've got to sell that for your guy and make your guy look good, and he did not. Plus, it's got to be hard with the shoulder pads and everything.
Yeah, to get the arms hooked.
You've got to have your arms out wide to do that.
Yeah, that's tough.
If you haven't seen the video, you should look up cop wrestling move, and it probably should be the first thing that pops up.
Yep.
All right, the next thing it's Xing is Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
I have no idea what she's trending, to be honest. Is it her birthday?
Mm-hmm.
Hey! Okay, I see you, Elaine. Can we point out, Julia Louis-Dreyfus looks the same as she always has.
Yep, she looks a lot the same, for sure.
She's a pretty lady. I will also say this. I'm genuinely interested to see how they continue to develop her character in the MCU. Because I really like the underhandedness.
Don't call her Val.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. Me too. Apparently, she's going to be a big part of Thunderbirds.
Here for it?
She is 64.
Also, I know it's a completely different character, tone, role, whatever. I've been watching Shrinking on Apple Plus. If you're not watching Shrinking, watch it. It's incredible. It is hilarious. It is the Harrison Ford is the funniest person on TV. And for some reason, that makes me more excited about seeing him as Red Hulk.
That's next month, by the way.
I know. I'm jacked.
So I said Thunderbolts is Thunderbirds. I think it is Thunderbolts. Thunderbirds is Thunderbirds are a go. Thunderbolts are the bad guy Avengers. All right. The next thing, speaking of superheroes, that is Xing, and the final thing that's Xing is the Flash.
I don't know why the Flash is Xing.
All right, so the Flash is Xing because the director of the movie that failed at the box office.
Blame the fans.
Said that people just don't like the Flash, the character.
That is dumb and wrong.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
that is dumb and wrong.
How many movies?
How is that somehow to me? That's worse than blaming the fans. Well, I mean, you are blaming the fans.
He is blaming the fans, yeah.
You're blaming the fans with something that we all know is clearly incorrect.
Yeah, a lot of movies, cartoons, comics went bad when the Flash died because he was the sense of humor. He was, he was so much that kept those guys together. And yeah, I don't.
That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable.
Maybe you should just blame it on the weirdo star of the movie who wanted to be a cult leader and stuff. Maybe blame it on that.
I mean, so do I, but like, pick a place in time.
No, he doesn't.
Pick a place in time, all right?
Rob does not want to be a cult leader.
I do. I want to be a cult leader of people who worship me and give me money. I ain't got there yet. Y'all have a great rest of your day.
No Kool-Aid.
Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. We'll see you back here tomorrow to do it all over again, but better on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later!